Following is a production of WRTT Public Affairs.
We're taking off to the moon. Fasten your seatbelts. Let's go.
If you have comments or questions for the host, call us at 621-WRTT or 268-2883.
Oh, we have landed on the moon. I'm so excited. I see people. Must be the moon people.
The opinions expressed are solely of...
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive into the heart of me. The love we share seems to go nowhere, and I've lost my light, for I toss and turn, I can't sleep at night. Once I ran to you, now I run from you. This tainted love you've given, I give you all a boy could give you. Take my tears, and that's not nearly all. Tainted love, tainted love. Now I know I've got to run away. I've got to get away. You don't really want any more from me.
Hello and welcome to Loveline. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. It's 11:05 p.m., 88.3 FM, and this is Carnegie Mellon's non-commercial freeform radio station. Tonight's public affairs program is Cleansing the Inner Sanctum. Tonight we're going to be talking about the controversial and fascinating act of cruising, visiting, and participating in all kinds of activity at bathhouses. With me in the studio tonight is a full complement of hosts, well, except for our distinguished female colleague, Jordan, who is on assignment in
Uganda
actually. This week. We expect her back next week.
Is she doing research on female circumcision?
Yes, and also
tribal ritualistic massacre.
Yeah, labia tattooing is also a big thing she's looking at. It's quite fascinating.
Interesting. Now, I believe is that a voluntary thing that women do in Uganda, or is this?
Well, it's becoming quite the party thing. It's actually becoming a party ritual where, she's only faxed me several times. She had an accident in a jeep and was tied up for a few days, so she's definitely
tied up. You mean literally tied up, or do you mean
she wasn't very clear? It was a very grainy fax.
Interesting. Well, before we begin, I'd like to introduce our host and introduce our special guest tonight. I am DJ Dr. Bubble.
Does that have anything to do with Mr. Bubble?
WRCT does not endorse any particular cleansing product, and Dr. Bubble is in no way related to the cleansing product, Mr. Bubble. So I'll make that clear.
Excellent. I am Fresh DJ Super Tonto.
I'm just plain Chris.
And I am Juan, but I'm not playing at all.
And tonight's special guest is, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Sebastian.
Sebastian.
Yes.
And Sebastian, where do you hail from?
I hail from the Midwest.
Excellent. Sebastian is, from what I understand, a frequent connoisseur of gay bathhouses. Or is gay correct? I don't want to make any assumptions about your sexual orientation.
Well, thank you, but it's my opinion that most bathhouses today are indeed gay in nature.
Interesting. So let's just start by asking, what is a bathhouse? What does it mean? I mean, is it a house with baths?
Well, it's more or less a health club, but they de-emphasize the exercise aspect and they emphasize the relaxation aspect.
Relaxation, interesting.
Yes. So in other words, they don't have too many machines, no stair steppers, no running machines. But rather, they have whirlpools and saunas, etc., for you to relax in.
So, from what I understand, this can get very relaxing at times. I mean, along with the relaxation element, there's also a sexual element in some of these places.
Yes, that's very true.
Okay. So
in the open? In the open? Can you go into the whirlpool and find a suitable partner, engage in sex?
Yes, sure.
Okay.
I imagine the whirlpool must get rather foamy after a while.
That's right. I would be concerned about the hygiene. It wouldn't be a very cleansing experience.
I think the facilities, they do try to maintain the pH balance at all times.
So there are chemists and staff.
Yes, they actually do staff highly trained PhD chemists. Yes.
Interesting. So that's a possible career move for anybody.
Yeah, what was the other? Dungeon monitor. That's
dungeon monitor.
This is kind of like a chlorinator in a bathhouse. It's another possible one for me.
Combine the two and be dungeon chlorinator.
Interesting.
That's so, another show.
So how do you find bathhouses? If I come to a new city and want to relax, want to have sex with somebody, mm-hmm. what do I do?
Well, that's a very good question, because if you land in a unknown city, it's not going to be very obvious where to go, because these places are not marked with bright neon signs saying, you know, gay bathhouse here. Because, well, they maintain their low profile, and I think they like it that way. So what you need is either a friend who lives there who knows where to go, or you have to pick up some local literature that will direct you, or buy one of the gay guides that lists many of the gay establishments in different areas of the world, and they too will direct you to the right establishments.
So outside of the gay community, people might not even know that this establishment in their neighborhood is a gay bathhouse. They might just think it's some kind of
health club.
Does Pittsburgh have a bathhouse, for example?
Unfortunately, yes.
Unfortunately. Is it an unfortunate bathhouse?
It's an unfortunate bathhouse. I was there once, and will never, ever, ever, ever go back.
What was bad about it?
It was disgusting.
You mean like dirty?
It was
raunchy.
It was run down. It was kind of sleazy and not very nice. I know people who like to go there, and I question their taste.
Didn't Pittsburgh at one point have a history of bathhouses? I at least knew, I read somewhere that there had been at least two or three, and that there was kind of an ethnic sexual cleansing at one point where they were burned down or something.
Good God, I had no idea. We'll have to look that up
in our large library at some point.
My head is filling up with questions. You say this one is sleazy, but it's not like the others. You imply that.
What? It's not dirty.
Like you just go there to have sex, you know?
That's the way it sounded.
This is just as not pleasant to be in. It's not a nice atmosphere.
That's regardless of the sex, so it's just...
Yes, it's just not a nice place to be. The facilities are not usable. They're run down, and I don't want to be there.
I need to point out at this point that I, in doing research for this show, I've actually visited this same bathhouse myself.
What's it called?
If we're going to slam the bathhouse, I don't know if we should call it by name on the air.
That could be slander or libel. We certainly don't want anybody.
An unnamed bathhouse in the Pittsburgh area.
as our introductory promo said, recording said, the opinions expressed in the show are not those of RCT, Carnegie Mellon, or the... or even of the people who are here present. So we're free to express our opinions regarding this bathhouse and call it by name if you so will.
Bob Morabian is retired, I might point out.
Yes, and he explicitly has no opinion on the gay bathhouses.
So what is the name of this bathhouse?
The name of the bathhouse is...
Does it have a name?
Yes, it's called The Arena.
Ooh, that's kind of an interesting name.
I think we outed The Arena a couple shows ago, actually.
Did you?
Did somebody not think it was... what it is?
No, I mean, that is to say we named it. Now I'm remembering that name's pretty...
So you've been to other bathhouses in other places?
Yes. Actually, I sat down and counted up the number of places I've been in, and it came up to be about 20 different places.
Good Lord.
20 places?
In North America.
All around?
And in Europe.
Yes. Really? Yes. What countries in Europe?
So many questions.
Countries in Europe? Spain, France, Belgium, Germany.
Germany. In Germany, the bathhouses are not only gay bathhouses, right? There are all sorts of...
Well, I don't know.
Pittsburgh has a straight, ordinary bathhouse, too, just for, like, taking baths.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's that?
I don't know. It's, like, down town, south side, north side?
I'm not aware.
That's a very big
city.
Somewhere in the city.
But it's an actual city-run bathhouse where people, like, go swimming and, you know, take little saunas.
This sounds a little different than what we're talking about.
Right.
So I don't know if anybody else is interested in hearing this, and if you're not, we shouldn't. But I'd like to know what these places look like, both the atypical Pittsburgh one and some random other one. Is that possible?
Can we want to know everything about these things. Let's get to it. What do they look like?
Well, they're as I said, they're kind of like spas, and the nicer ones are very nicely decorated with plants and nice wood fixtures.
Do they
fixtures.
Have nooks and you know?
Yes, the bigger ones. The bigger ones have like dark places and quarters they can walk down and hidden little nooks and crannies. But you know, they have facilities for you to use like saunas, whirlpools. Some have tanning beds. Some have free weights and universal machines for you to use.
So these things, these components, are actually used in their traditional sense, as well as a vehicle to get sex.
Oh, most definitely. Most often when I go, it's just to use the facilities to sit in the jacuzzi after walking around Paris all day, for example.
So you actually use it as a relaxing sanctum. You don't necessarily go there just to have sex or have some kind of encounter.
Personally, yes. I never go with the expectation of anything other than relaxation happening.
But you're open to the possibility of...
Open, yes.
Interesting.
Have you rejected an offer of sex in a bathhouse?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. But who hasn't?
Bookmark that point. I'm sure we'll need to explore further.
I'd like to point out that if any of our listeners want to call in with questions for Sebastian, our phone number is country code 1, city code 412-621-WRCT. If you're on campus, that's 268-WRCT. And those letters stand for 9728.
Yeah, especially if you're calling from abroad, you'll have the letters in your phone, so that is a good idea. So you said before that you can have sex openly in a whirlpool, for example. So you can go after walking around Paris all day, as you said. You can go just with the idea of relaxing, and there might be two people having sex right next to you.
Yes, that's a very
likely scenario. And DJ Nasty Boy is just like going at it right next to you.
Yeah, most people aren't very blatant about it, and they like to go have their privacy most often. But for example, just last week I was, it just so happened that I was in a bathhouse last week, and these two guys are going at it in the whirlpool, which I found to be unusual. But they were really going at it.
I mean, what does that mean, really going at it? What particular sexual activity were they?
Well, I wasn't staring at them because I actually don't like to watch.
That's not, that doesn't sound very relaxing then.
For them or for me?
For you. Because you're actively not watching.
Well, I'm not avoiding them. If I walk by, I glance at them and I keep moving. Some people will stand there and watch.
No, you weren't in the whirlpool with them?
No, I was not in the whirlpool with them. No.
And did the sexual position was?
Various. They were really going at it.
Going at it.
Going at it.
Yeah.
But even though you weren't watching them, you presumably saw them engage in various...
Well, yes, they were going at it for such a long time that, you know, I passed by a few times. It was also a very small place.
So, meanwhile, people are not reluctant to use the whirlpool?
What, at any time or when there's other people in it?
When there are people having sex.
Oh, yes, no one else. No one else went into the whirlpool while they were in there.
And they were there for a long time.
They were there for quite a while.
So,
I was going to say, it can be customary that they might be a proposition for others to perhaps join... into somewhat of a group scenario, perhaps in certain situations.
Yes, there's a protocol that someone might think they might be interested in approach, and if they glare at this other person's intruder, that they would expect the other intruder to go away.
But perhaps it's not so uncommon to have four or five men at one time engaging in a mini orgy, or perhaps, I don't know if it's really a mini at that point, I guess all you need is more than two. Well, I don't know. I mean, is there a definition of orgy?
So,
is there a number?
So you're saying, I'm sorry.
We'll get back to you on that question.
I got to go look that one up.
10 or more is definitely an orgy.
Are you saying that that is perfectly okay, part of the social protocol of these places, to walk into a whirlpool, and if you feel like group sex, you might even walk into
hey,
it?
Hey, come
see.
On over,
yeah,
boys.
So your expectation is that there is an even chance or something like that, that you might be accepted into a group?
Sure.
Yes? Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Now, is it typical that they're having sex in the whirlpool, or are they more having sex in the nooks and crannies?
It's atypical to have sex out in the bright light in the whirlpool. It's most often in the nooks and crannies in the dark places.
So that was a rare occurrence?
It was pretty rare. I was surprised.
Would you think that those people actually wanted to be watched? I mean, was that part of the thrill of having sex?
I think so. They were both rather nice-looking people, and I think that they wanted to be watched.
So some kind of exhibitionist element
yes.
to them.
Yes.
So the standard dress, then, you had mentioned earlier, kind of, there was corridors and rooms to walk or places to walk around. The standard dress would be what?
It's usually just a towel around your waist. Some people walk around in their underwear, but the towel is usually the standard.
Hmm. So I think maybe kind of a blow-by-blow description, if I may use the term, of kind of from the moment you walk in the door to kind of the moment you are accepted, perhaps, into some kind of
circle of fun.
Engagement.
And the moment you leave in
right.
shame.
So like, is there a lobby? Is there a receptionist, as it were?
Do you have an appointment, sir? Is there food? Is there kind of a fruit plate or something?
Some places have buffets, midnight buffets, yes.
Have you been in the Netherlands? I hear they're really good with...
I was one in Brussels.
Kartoffel salad.
Did I not mention Brussels? I was one in Brussels.
The Netherlands are good with... I'm sorry, what?
With food, apparently. I mean, this is a professor who actually was talking about his experience and said they made really good crumpets and... was crumpets and sex all day. But
crumpets and sex all day.
Oh, my.
I'm getting interested. I might get into this lifestyle, even though my clothing does not allow me into it. But so we're interrupting you all the time. I still want that description.
Yeah, so you get in. Now, do you pay?
Yes.
Or how does it work?
Almost always you pay on entering. I've been to one place where I paid on exit, which was quite unusual. Mm-hmm. You pay on arriving.
Arriving.
When
okay.
you arrive, there's usually a glass partition, and there's a person behind it, and you pay, almost always a man.
Like a movie theater type thing?
Like a movie theater, that's right. And the door's locked, so you can't just walk in. The front door's open, sometimes you have to be buzzed in, but the door to actual premises is locked. You have to be buzzed in.
But it's not like someone, that guy
buzzes
you in.
He buzzes you in, gives you your towel and your
condom.
Do
they check ID?
A condom, I'm sorry?
Yes, you're almost always given a condom nowadays.
Okay.
Some places you do have to show ID, usually depending on local ordinances.
Verify age.
Yeah,
Variable rates for like junior discounts or anything?
Yes,
like that?
Yes.
Senior citizens?
Yes, if you're a student, some places will give you a discount. Oh, like wow. Tuesday is a student's night because they want to draw a young crowd. That's going to bring people in.
Well, is it like Disneyland? I mean, do they have different kind of tickets for different kind of
somehow I think the family pass is just out.
Well, it's well, you pay
only
your price
half
to get
price?
In.
But the, I mean, you, well, what if you want a sort of a special room or rooms? Are there rooms?
In North America, you could rent either a room or a locker, and there's different types of rooms. A small room. Big room with a video screen for the piped-in movies that they have.
Like porno movies?
Yes.
Like Heidi.
Heidi.
Hey,
that's right.
You know, some people might get
everybody's
out,
got a fetish, you know.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I wasn't clear about this when we started.
So
these places are geared towards sex, even though you may not engage on a particular night.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Well, I'm getting the impression that you're a little bit unusual and that other people who go there might be more toward the sex aspect and less toward the relaxation.
That's certainly the locals who go for sex, but being I live in Pittsburgh with only one bathhouse that I don't want to go to, I usually attend when I'm traveling and I'm usually tired of walking around, so I go to relax.
What is the nearest city to Pittsburgh that has a quote, acceptable? Or
acceptable? Well, I've been to the one in Cleveland and that was okay. Toronto has several, which are very nice. So that's probably the closest city.
What's the nicest
DC?
One?
What about D.C.?
D.C.? I've never been to the one in D.C. I think it's my impression that it's very small and it's not worth going in.
Where's the nicest one you've been to?
I was to a very nice one in Montreal. Montreal has about six or eight different ones.
Montreal.
And they have a nice one that was very French, and it was in this kind of desert island motif with little huts, and they walked around.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Theme park.
Did they have food there?
They did not have food. The only place I've been that they had food was on New Year's Eve in Toronto. They had a midnight buffet.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have another question I want to jump back to. So you said upon entrance, you usually get a condom. Are condoms made available kind of throughout the stay?
There's usually not, you know, like little bowls of them, but I assume you can get another one if you went up and asked.
Right.
It's right next to the crumpet plate.
Yes. Right. Condoms and crumpets.
Yes.
Okay, so I've paid, I've gotten through the inner door, and yes, now I'm encountering the chamber.
So they give you your towel and usually a condom, sometimes some lube.
Ooh.
And in Spain they actually give you little flip-flop things to wear.
We're very civilized.
They're very civilized.
Very detail-oriented people.
Yeah. So they give you this, and then you go off to find your room or your locker, and they usually tell you where to go. You know, go down this hall and make a left.
So this is not like a hotel room. This is some kind of a little chamber, right?
If you take a room, it's like a little box with a door on it, and there's a little bed in there, and usually it's some sort of locker to put your valuables and your clothes in.
Oh, I see. And is the bed sort of like skanky?
No, it's like a cot, and they change the sheets after each person leaves. They change the sheets.
That's thoughtful.
Yeah, they have little boys running around doing this, little towel boys.
And how much does this service cost, roughly?
To get in,
to change the sheets after every person must be expensive.
It depends on the facilities that they offer. If you get a locker at a small place, it might cost you $5 or $8. To get, you know, a room at a nicer...
This is on top of the admission?
No, this is admission.
This is admission.
It's one price. You pay your price to get in, and everything is mostly included unless you want
a massage. That's very reasonable.
Yes.
I just paid more for a couple of beers. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Mm. But you can go up to maybe $20 for a couple if you get a room in a particularly nice place.
And you can have that room for the night?
Usually they have time limits, so 6 hours, 8 hours, depending on the day of the week, how busy they are.
So, but you could buy multiple blocks if you wanted to stay overnight?
It depends where you are. Like, for example, when I was in New Orleans during Mardi Gras, 6 hours, that's it, you're out. You could not stay any longer because they wanted to turn over.
Could a bathhouse be an alternative to a hotel for people who...
Yes, if you don't mind.
If you don't mind not sleeping very much, I assume, as well.
If you're a good sleeper, you know, they do pipe music in, so if you're a light sleeper, you won't sleep. But if you bring some earplugs, you know, it's a pretty cheap hotel.
Aren't there, like, penises probing through the glory holes in your room? Or?
Well, there are usually no glory holes in the rooms.
Through the keyhole.
No.
Let me in!
If there is one coming through the keyhole, I would say no. Excuse me. I don't think so.
We all have standards.
I have already flossed tonight, thanks.
And for this $20, in the worst case, you get a little room, you get your porno pipe thing, you get whirlpools are being kept clean more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
Yes, you get access to the facilities. Yes.
You have a gym, too, which is just the admission to a gym in Europe might cost you that.
Right. Most places don't have weights and stuff, but it's usually the saunas that they have, and some places have the weights.
So say I've arrived alone, or am now in pursuit. I've perhaps got a room. I've stored my belongings in a locker. What next?
Well, you take off your clothes, and you put them in the locker, and you put your towel around your waist, and you make it as short as you're willing to go.
Roll it up. The towel?
The towel. You kind of bunch it up. So some people wear it very short.
Kind of like a mini skirt.
Yeah, a mini skirt. Some people wear it down to their knees. Depends how old you are, I guess.
Depends on how big your penis is.
How trollish you are.
Yes.
If you try to parade around with a throbbing erection to display your...
Not usually. It's very difficult to walk around and maintain an erection. It takes a lot of talent to do that.
Certainly get that display here.
So, in any case, you put your towel on. You assume you have a room. You lock your room up, and you go out and explore.
So, a couple of times you've mentioned the age factor and sort of the troll factor. Is there a kind of a social hierarchy of dividing between the attractive and desirable and the foul and objectionable?
Stench, Phil.
Well, to a certain degree that you find the older gentlemen hang around a lot hoping for something to come their way, while the younger, more attractive people tend to not associate with them. But you always find someone who likes older older gentlemen who'll go with them. Sometimes it's very surprising if you watch people pair off, if they do pair off.
Is this any different from a gay bar, a gay club?
Well, I don't see too many people having sex in a gay bar.
Okay. That's what you meant by pairing off. Okay.
Yes, yes.
All right.
But I think another difference, too, is that this is probably much more based on sex, I think. I mean, in a gay bar, you try to perhaps charm your victim with your personality or your...
Victim?
Did I say victim? I meant, I don't know what I meant.
Well, my visits to gay bars has always been kind of the old gentleman being the aggressor. There was clearly a young victim that was charmed, as you described it. So that's why I was.
Well, there is flirtation, and that aspect is similar to me in a gay bar because you have people looking at each other and trying to hook up. But in a gay bar, you have to go someplace else. Whereas in a bathhouse, you hook up, you're basically where you have to go.
You save the transportation time and the awkwardness of
a lot more
buying drinks. It's a lot cheaper in the long run.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Are there bathhouses with bars?
Most have bars that you can buy drinks.
So why not open a combination facility of dance club and sex chamber in the same facility so that it would be very convenient,
I know of none,
I think.
But often they're very close to each other.
You mean inside the bathhouse, or
right? I mean, so you dance, you drink, you enjoy yourself, and then you
go relax for a while, and then have sex.
Stinky bed is in the same.
Well, there used to be places much bigger. Now, for example, a place called the Ritz in New York City, the Continental Baths. The play and movie The Ritz were based on the Continental Baths, but it was a huge establishment like a hotel that had entertainment where Bette Midler played, got her start, and so there were places along those lines.
Interesting.
Yes, I highly recommend the film The Ritz, by the way, if you're interested in this topic.
Definitely, The Ritz. We'll watch that and report back next week.
Perhaps we want to give the phone number out again, perhaps, if anybody's currently having questions or needing to call and ask and probe, as it were.
Let's do it.
Country code 1, area code 412-683? No, sorry,
621.
That's my phone number. 621. Don't call my office. 621 WRCT, or Corey knows the numbers.
9728.
There you go.
621-9728, or
268-WRCT, or 728 again. We should mention that we do netcast on the internet, which is why we do give out the country code. I know we have some listeners in Seattle, and we've been quoted as being the best radio station in Denver, so... I think it's important to know that we have global listeners for
probably not at this time of night on Tuesdays,
but it's not night everywhere. Juan,
that's true.
That's right.
In the empire of love lying, the sun never sets.
Exactly. I believe at one of the bathhouses in France, they're actually live casting us over the porno feed right now.
Exactly.
We should also point out our fabulous website, which is thanks to the powerful artistic grace of one of our hosts, Chris.
Thanks.
Is up and running, loveline.wrct.org. O-R-G. It doesn't stand
orgasm.
For orgasm.
Organization.
And there's a male and female nude on that site. Synthetic nude, unfortunately. WRCT does not endorse real nudes in any way. So.
And we certainly don't make that kind of stuff available to minors.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah.
And, therefore, synthetic being completely legal and safe in the
There seemed to be some sort of virtual reality penis on the male.
You know,
is
it's not a penis. It's a tendon.
Tendon?
I have a fantastic program.
Kind of got loose.
And without endorsing yet another product here, I would highly recommend the program Poser, which allows you to bend and twist any human being or wireframe of a human being into any position you would like to do. It's also, it's very appropriate for the sex.
Sounds like some of our BDSM people would like to do that.
Exactly, and you can literally shape a body into pretty much anything you want it to do and then render it, and it puts skin and muscle on top of it. It's fascinating. Poser, P-O-S-E-R. They just came out with a new release called Poser 2. So check it out.
Okay, so we have a website. Bathhouses. So... Is it true then that gay people are more promiscuous? Everything you're saying certainly is saying glaringly yes.
Are there lesbian bathhouses? Are there heterosexual sex houses?
I know that heterosexual bathhouses did at least exist. I don't know of any because that's not my venue.
There is a public one in Munich, for example, which is free. Mm-hmm. But and I heard that people occasionally have sex, but it's certainly not. You don't go there with the idea of having sex. I don't know.
Well, to answer your question, I'm convinced that gay men aren't necessarily more promiscuous. I think they're just more blatant about it, about sexuality, and I think people perceive that as being promiscuous.
Interesting.
I think we should probably continue on with the whole prospecting and parading, as it
exploring.
Were.
Exploring.
Yeah, exploring. Yes. There was a mention of a promenade, as
yes,
it were.
Yes, a promenade.
So maybe we should delve into that. So you've left your room now.
Left your room.
With your mini skirt towel.
Prancing from the sauna to the steam room.
Yes.
It's just a hint of your loins peeking under the towel. So we're with you.
Yes. So I personally usually shower first because it's very relaxing. And
shower.
They almost always have shower facilities.
These are public showers.
Yes, usually they're quite viewable from many different angles.
So are other shower people watching you, or is there kind of a little atrium that they can view the shower from?
Usually you could see in, and it's usually a shower for more than one person.
Interesting.
You're not unlike the shower facilities here at CMU.
Which we've had a discussion about.
Indistinguishable as far as I can tell.
I think CMU could be, this whole building could actually be converted into quite a fantastic bathhouse.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Eating facilities, show space.
Right.
What more
we've
do you
got
want?
The steam room, the sauna, and the showers conveniently located right next to that hot tub. So.
Not only that, but every point in the building is visible from many points at different levels.
Very true. So. And there's nooks and crannies, like
that's
a
right.
big English muffin.
Absolutely. So, okay, so you take a shower, and your presence is visible to everybody
yes,
at this
it's
point.
Yes, felt. Everyone is ogling me. Everyone is desiring me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So have you ever witnessed a shower orgy or been
Not a shower orgy, you know.
The shower?
There's better places. Than the shower. Certain places that you don't have to stand up constantly.
Right. But has anybody soaped you up in the shower, or have you dropped your soap accidentally?
I think showers are more for scoping out the people who are there rather than action.
It's the warm-up.
It's the warm-up. It's the starting gate.
It's like debutante ball.
Yes, you step
or
out.
Balls.
Yes, you are introduced to society there, and you go from there. So you might go and use some of the sauna or the whirlpool, whatever you like.
And so if you developed an admirer in the shower, mm-hmm. that person might follow you from the shower to another area? Or
right, the interaction could take many, many different courses. Let's assume that this person does not speak to you at first, but he looks at you, you look at him. Some sort of mutual interest is established, and then you go off to other parts, and maybe he'll follow you, or maybe you run into him later and look at each other again. And it's this flirtation, this dance that takes place.
So the flirtation is all subverbal, kind of telepathic in some sense, right?
Certainly at first. There's always the aggressive few who will march right up to you and tell you what they want.
Well, the first is of great advantage when you're traveling, as you do, and going mm-hmm. to bathhouses in places whose language you might not speak.
Yes.
But I can imagine in some cultures, the wrong body gesture and could be committing yourself to something
that's not
at all prepared
or insulting
for.
Their mothers or something.
Right.
Yeah. Would be difficult.
I believe something like that happened to you in Spain a couple of years ago, didn't it?
Juan? To me?
Yes.
Remind me, I don't remember past at this moment.
Juan's being coy at the moment. We'll talk about it on a future show. But
so there was a promenade, which really fascinated me.
Okay, so you're done using the facilities. You want to walk around and see who's there. Because, of course, the goal is, if you're there to have sex, you want to have sex with the hottest guy you can get.
Right.
You want to see who's there. You want to decide who you're interested in and see which one you can get. So you want to walk around, and usually, in North America at least, there's all these rooms you could walk around. There's usually some corridors. You walk around, look at other people who are walking around. You look into the room, see who's sitting there, watching the people go by. And you know, you keep your mental score of who you like and who you don't to try to make eye contact with those that you like and try to run away from those that you don't.
So at this point you haven't made eye contact even though you were scouting?
Well, sure, you're always making eye contact with the people with whom you're interested.
I see.
You're always keeping yourself open.
And then the auction takes place?
The auction? It's more of a negotiation.
It's more like the match of medical school, you know?
I see.
But so... Now, I'm not sure how much time do you spend there. I mean, you're talking about picking the single best target, but if you spent like a whole afternoon there, maybe you could have multiple sexual encounters.
Oh, most definitely.
Various favorite
most
people.
If you are lucky enough to be that resilient, yes. Often, many times, people have encounters with many different people but don't have an orgasm every time. They'll save it for the last, for example, just before they're going home.
So there has to be a selection process to choose the best anyway.
Oh, yes. Yes, you have to decide who you like, and then as that falls through, you have to come up with your second best and your third best.
Oh, that must be very stressing. It's like looking for a job.
You just keep a priority queue in your head, and that's it.
Oh. Well, I guess it may be stressful, but you can always jump in the sauna if it gets to be too difficult.
Mm-hmm, so that's right.
It's not
that's
too
right.
bad.
Weigh your options.
There was... So you're in along this promenade. You'd mentioned earlier that perhaps there's doors and other rooms available, perhaps with people in them, signaling exactly what they want. What would some of those signals be?
That's true. There are often people who are sitting in the rooms. Well, once again, this is more or less in North America where they have rooms to rent, and so these people are sitting in their rooms, usually indicating what their desire would be or who would be their perfect match. Because you have to be willing to give what they want.
How do they do this?
Well, most often people would like to be who would like to be anally penetrated would be laying on their stomachs. That's the most common way of indicating this.
Body language.
And yes, body language definitely. Mm-hmm. And so, if you are so inclined to participate in such an activity, giving, then you could go into that person's room, usually slowly at first, to see if they accept you or reject you. And if they accept you, then you can close the door and do your business.
So how somebody who was laying on his stomach, signaling anal penetration, you walk in, first of all, he has to awkwardly look back at you, I guess?
Yes.
And then how might he signal rejection?
Well, if he doesn't like you, he might just look at the wall or something, or give you a nasty look. And usually it's pretty obvious when they don't want you there. Especially if you don't get it and you take another step forward, it becomes painfully clear when they, shoo you away.
I guess I was thinking his range of expression is limited because most of his face is away from you. seriously. But it's clear anyway.
It's
I guess there is a way.
Clear, yeah.
I think I have various forms of butt clenching. Even.
If you get really close and he doesn't like
the art of butt clenching. Okay.
Yeah, big fart.
Yeah, but what's sad is sometimes people just don't care. The person laying on the stomach might not care who comes in just as long as he gets what he wants. It's sad.
It's interesting, but it seems like the body language is limited to the kind of sexual activity you want. You can't, for example, encode, I'm looking for an older gentleman, or I'm looking for
no,
a 18-year-old.
Not types.
Star.
That's mostly behaviors. Uh-huh. So, for example, if you're into playing with toys, you'd have some lying next to your bed while you're sitting in your
toys,
room.
You mean what kind of toys?
For example, a dildo, a big black dildo might be sitting next to your bed. You might be playing with it with your hand as people walk by. You might be, for example, wearing a mask, a rubber mask or a leather mask over your head.
That would indicate?
That would indicate something very scary.
Some sort of Batman fetish?
Some sort of domination is expected. Yes, I have seen one or two of those types.
I mean, you've seen. Have you seen?
We've had many of them in the studio, so we're completely unfazed.
It's it's wonderful. This whole set of symbols and language. I think a semiotics expert would be fascinated by it.
Well, it's sort of disappointing that they've discarded the hanky code, which has been refined. And
well, where would you keep your hanky as you're walking on your towel?
I'm sorry. What is the hanky code? Drop in your hanky and see if somebody.
Your lace hanky.
Is that
poor,
what you mean?
Poor one.
Poor Juan.
Poor straight Juan.
Playing the innocent.
Enlighten me,
I guess hankies were the rage in, the 70s, I don't know, and basically different colored hankies meant interest in different sexual activities, and it got to be very complicated. You know, they had to use colors and subcolors.
How did the rules get propagated? You know. Well, I guess we'll leave that to the semiotics expert. But okay, so
you put like a green handkerchief up your nose and a red handkerchief in your boot, and that would mean
there's like right pocket is you're submissive and left is dominant, or is that backwards?
It's one of those.
It's one or the other.
So, you know,
it's kind of important not to confuse
them. Well, I know. I have a friend. I actually have a friend who I was just visiting this weekend in Seattle who was wearing a red handkerchief in his right pocket or his right back pocket. And we were walking down Broadway in Seattle, which is the gay street in Seattle, pretty much. Red means you're kind of desiring anal sex or you like to give anal sex.
But only on your, from the right side?
Somebody would have, this is all on the web, so you can, feel free to just type in hanky code in your favorite search engine, you'll find it. But fascinating amount of looks he was getting, and I finally enlightened him on what he was advertising.
So we should get, we should get back to bathhouses, but I'm fascinated by this as well. Have you ever used a message in, broadcast a hanky code message? Cody,
Dr. DJ Bubble.
I'm sorry, you change names very often. It's hard for me to keep track.
Do you have a supply of brown hickeys in your pocket?
No, that was a previous persona.
What's the brown hanky?
I believe it signifies scat.
What is scat?
We have
a show about this. Coprophilia.
Coprophilia.
Mm. And a black handkerchief is like
necrophilia.
Actually, black is BDSM.
Oh,
black is very
black with red trim.
but there are people that walk around with several hankies stuffed in various pockets, and advertising the whole. You have to walk around with your kind of little reference card.
Many gay bars will actually sell them now. I know Lucky's.
So have you used this code?
Well, you know, it was a little bit before my time, and I'm also a little bit more of a reserved kind of person. So I prefer people just to.
So this was 1970s. This code.
I think that's when it was all the rage. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of passé by the time.
I think I'd love to learn more about it. That's for some other time, though. Let's return to bathhouses.
Any hanky experts, 621-WRCT, 268-WRCT, call the station.
Or if you know of any other symbols used to get sex without having to negotiate explicitly, that's also very interesting in general. What happens after the promenade? You go have coffee, I guess.
That's you can have coffee, yeah, but have some very good coffee in the one in Brussels. It was very nice. you if you're there to have sex, you're going to walk around until you meet up with someone that you're interested in.
But you said that you're looking for the best one you can get, so you might actually go around a couple of times before.
Oh, yes, you could be walking for hours if that's what you want.
I would imagine, too, unless you're exceptionally good-looking, that you know being rejected so much can be kind of depressing. I mean, can't you...
Yes.
If all these people are waiting for their ideal man...
Yes. You really have to learn to separate yourself from how other people accept you or reject you, especially in such places, because they're going on such superficial judgments. You know, they're just looking at what you look at, how big your pecs are, how big your dick is, and then that's it.
Interesting. So you have to not take it personally if someone. But I mean, the nonverbal cues they give you are very severe. Like you walk into a room and they give you this dirty look and they swish you away. I mean, I would take that very personally.
Well, everyone's there more or less for the same thing. So you just have to learn not to take it personally. Like that person maybe wants an older guy. Maybe this one wants a muscle head. Or maybe this one wants an Oriental. So just because you don't meet their very narrow desires, you shouldn't take that personally. You really have to learn that.
So you mentioned that the size or characteristics of your masculine attributes might play the game on this, but I thought you were walking around with a towel.
Well, you don't have a towel on in the sauna or in the jacuzzi.
Oh, I see. Promenade is not a particular place. It just happens everywhere?
Well, more or less. You're walking around, you know, to the sauna, from the sauna.
Between attractions.
The promenade is more of a state of mind, I think.
Yeah. I see.
There's not actually a catwalk going on.
A catwalk.
Well, that would be fascinating.
I thought it was more like in the 19th century bourgeois neighborhoods where they got out on Sunday afternoons and they walked to see each other.
It's similar to
you
that.
You could each get a parasol. You know?
Kind of like cruising with the cars here in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of concept.
Yeah. Yeah. Same idea.
Yeah. I guess I have a question that I know is probably very sensitive to a lot of people, especially in the age of being very careful with promiscuous sex.
Go, baby.
Between heterosexuals or homosexuals is obviously the risk of disease. And I know a lot of bathhouses have certainly been shut down or at least severely modified in the wake of the AIDS virus and also other sexually transmitted diseases. Have you noticed a change in bathhouses? And how does the bathhouse frequenting community deal with issues of STDs?
Well, I certainly can't speak to changes that I've noticed because I'm not that old, and I've only been going for the last few years, certainly well into the AIDS epidemic. So I'm quite thankful that I wasn't active beforehand. I was just lucky. But, as I said, most bathhouses nowadays will give you a condom as you go in or make them available. And most do have rules about conduct, what you can and can't do.
Are there rules against unprotected sex?
Usually. That's almost standard. Yeah. But of course,
how do you enforce that?
Well, it's very difficult, especially when you have rooms with doors that lock. And so when you go in, you have to be responsible for your own actions and your own health. And that's the bottom line.
Hmm. Have you found yourself in a situation where someone wanted to have an unsafe encounter and you had to draw the line?
Oh, yes. I'm astonished at the amount of unprotected sex that goes on in bathhouses, anal sex, which is basically known to be the riskiest type, and people will partake in that quite freely, and I find that very disturbing.
So you see that going on in the rooms or in the saunas?
Well, that usually goes on behind closed doors, not in the public places. But it's certainly I've been propositioned to partake in that type of activity.
Is there a security in case your rejection is not taken well?
That's a good point, and usually not, because the people, for example, who are working there are usually very twinky young gay men who wouldn't be able to throw someone out of the establishment. So the answer is no, that something very severe could happen to you.
But I guess it's a tighter community than most public places, so maybe it doesn't happen, so the risk is lower than it might appear at first. Is that?
Well, I certainly would be aware of my surroundings. I would not put myself in a potentially dangerous situation.
Did you feel a little threatened or insecure here in Pittsburgh? In what is the name again?
Arena.
Arena.
I didn't stay long enough or do anything to feel insecure there. I've never really felt threatened or in a dangerous situation in any place I've been. But if I had, I would have left.
So perhaps you have a superlative story then of one encounter or perhaps a bathhouse experience that just topped others or.
What, my best bathhouse experience?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
I think that's really what the audience wants to know.
Well,
the one that keeps you coming back.
Oh, well, nothing really keeps me coming back. It just keeps you coming.
Yeah,
not really. Most often when I go, I don't do anything anyway other than relax in the non-sexual sense of the word. But my most interesting experience was a trip I made with a friend to Montreal. We went to this very nice bathhouse that I mentioned earlier that's based on this deserted island type of theme with huts around. And what we had been doing was taking the last subway to wherever we were going to be for the night, whichever bathhouse we were going to go, stay all night, and then take the first subway back to the place we were staying and then sleep all morning. So we went to this place, and we had basically walked all night. It's just interesting to note that most often these places are dimly lit, so it's always twilight. So you're not even aware of the passage of time. You know, it could be noon, it could be 3 a.m. and you really don't know the difference because there's no windows.
It's twilight in the tropics.
It's twilight in the tropics, and I walked, I walked and you know didn't find anything I wanted. This is many years ago, I might add. And eventually, I just decided to go back to my room, leave the door open, and pleasure myself. So in doing so, a gentleman walked in, and he decided to help me, and that was. The result was my one and only multiple orgasm, and that was something to remember.
Multiple orgasm? Yeah. That's a topic we haven't touched on Love Line.
Especially male multiple orgasm. little.
Interesting.
Yes, it was.
How did you tell us about it? How is that possible?
Well, I think the reason was because since I was walking for many hours and being aroused and relaxing, I was very primed to finish. I was very primed, and since this had been going on for many hours, the situation was just right. I was relaxed enough, and it just happened.
So you ejaculated twice?
Well, yes. What happened? I ejaculated, and then it kind of stopped, and then it started again.
Oh, but within the same curve of.
Well, it was a complete stop. There was a complete stop when I thought it was over. And then it was like a fresh new start.
A fresh shower of soap.
Like within the same 60 seconds, 90 seconds?
Well, mine tend to last a while. So.
Excellent.
Wow.
A while?
Yeah, well, I'd never timed it, but you mean longer than some.
You mean you ejaculate for seconds?
For seconds? Sure, yes.
I mean for more than 20 seconds?
Well, as I said, I never timed it, but it's... It's because it's quite voluminous, so I think that's one reason.
Voluminous, interesting.
We're getting very personal here.
So, in the next 60 seconds, we could actually measure your orgasm and get some...
No.
Somebody's hitting the microphone. So, stop it.
I think that would be me.
Yeah.
So was this person's sexual technique particularly good?
No, it was nothing about him. He wasn't particularly attractive. He was okay. He wasn't disgusting. He was a little bit older, and it was just the culmination of many different factors coming together.
Was he pleased by your...
I think so. I think he was shocked.
Wow. And then
he was probably pleased that he had a hand in it.
Yes.
Making some kind of sexual history. And was it your turn to then service?
No, he was not looking for any reciprocation.
Interesting.
Mm. So was it a little transgression of him to come into your room?
No, because I left the door open.
Ah, I see. So he was, promenading, I guess.
Yes, he was walking around. I could have given him a look to tell him to leave.
Mm-hmm. I see how it works.
Yes.
Do you learn these social conventions by experience, or how does everybody end up with knowing
school.
What to do?
School.
Did you take the course, Corey? Oh, you know, I went to a Midwestern public school, and they're very closed-minded about this kind of thing.
I think it's by experience.
How was your first bathhouse experience?
Oh, it was really awful, because I took everything personally. I was upset because no one would look at me, and you know I didn't know any of these signals or what to look for, what to expect. It was not very pleasant, not unlike my first sexual experience.
So I guess Dr. Bubble's already. Comments from before was right on target, that it's kind of psychologically
naturally.
Damaging.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you learned over time not to take it personally.
Yes, that's certainly a learned thing on my part, just to chalk it up to, well, he's not looking for someone like me.
Well, in a purely socially Darwinistic sense, I mean, I would imagine if you're on the kind of low end of the curve, and you're a little bit older, a little bit less attractive, a little bit crusty, you're never going to get any.
But as I said,
how can you keep coming back?
There will always be somebody, hopefully, that will want that kind of thing.
That's right. You'd be surprised at the couples that
but
turn out.
I don't think sexual dynamics are completely fair. There must be people who are always left out in the cold, you know, on the extreme tail of the attractiveness.
No, that's a Hollywood impression that assumes that there's only one.
No, it doesn't assume that at all. You're assuming the entirely opposite thing, that it's totally fair, that everybody's got a match.
I'm not saying it's fair. I'm saying that once in a while, sometimes it will happen. It might be harder to find somebody who will want you, but it's still possible.
I guess the great tragedy is that, I mean, maybe people should have like a sign that shows all their sensitive characteristics too, but I suppose you don't really have enough time to
But people aren't there to get to know you or right. to find out.
Yeah, how do you signal when you're naked in a bathhouse that you want conversation, for example?
You shouldn't be there, probably.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You leave.
Is there a protocol for the social structure? I mean, if you have sex with somebody in a bathhouse and then you see them the next day, like waiting for a bus, are you allowed to talk to them?
Well,
or do you pretend that it didn't happen?
That's a good question, because going to a bathhouse is, I think, is still considered somewhat tainted. It's kind of sleazy, and if most people, I think, probably wouldn't want other people to know, if their coworkers or their parents, for example, to know that they actually go to these type of places. So, if, for example, you're walking down the street with your parents, and some guy passes you, says, "Hey, Bill, nice to see you." And you know, parents might say, "Well, where did you meet him?" And then you have to come up with a lie to cover it. And
so, do your parents know that you've been to bathhouses?
Oh no.
They do now.
No, they don't.
The bastion.
What if somebody crosses you and calls you by a name that is not yours, because you know, that's even worse.
Right. Personal experience one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or there's always the usual, "Don't I know you from somewhere?" Mm-hmm. Then you remember.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting.
Well, so if everybody's okay with this, in the 3 minutes that we have left, I'd like to hear about, if you can, what's so awful about the Pittsburgh place?
it's
not at all like what you just described, I guess.
Well, the same activities go on in that there are little rooms and people are walking around and there are videos piped in, but it's a very run-down establishment. And to see the steam room is just an experience in and of itself, because it's this disgusting cellar type of chamber, and it's really...
It's not hygienic? Is that the main objection?
Probably
you have?
Not. It's just not. Most of these places I've gone to are very nice. They're kept up. You know, the paint's fresh on the walls, and there's nice carpeting. And the one in Pittsburgh just isn't like that.
It's kind of like a dungeon-ish, or that kind of.
It's kind of like a seedy hotel.
Like a seedy hotel.
Kind of smelly, and you know, lots of people have been through here.
Have you been to any bathhouses in the Eastern Europe, beyond the old Iron Curtain? Because they might be like that a little bit.
Maybe. I actually have not been to any in Eastern Europe.
Okay.
Interesting. Well, maybe your next field assignment, Juan, you can go to.
Well, I will have to go to the first one anywhere.
Well, Jordan's in Uganda, I could have her pose as a male and... and see if she can. Oh.
Well, interesting thing is, I was in one in Spain a year and a half ago, and sitting in the sauna, and suddenly this topless woman walked in.
Well, topless is normal there. So.
Well, woman that's true, but woman is not.
Yeah,
usually, these are almost always exclusively male. But obviously this one wasn't.
So what is the address of the Spanish
this
one?
This one, well, you probably don't want to go there, because it was mostly prostitutes hanging out in there, which I found out later.
I need to introduce myself to this world slowly, so being in my home country where I understand all the signals already.
If this was in Barcelona.
Having women is helpful.
A thermos sauna in Barcelona.
Okay.
Yeah, we definitely, when we have to spend our WRCT love line budget through these travel excursions of research, too. So.
Yeah, we might make it to Butler.
Yeah.
With our budget.
Get about $6.95
a gas. The Butler bathhouse.
Yeah.
Better than Moon. Or Beaver.
Well, depends on your orientation.
True. The Beaver bathhouse may be just up your alley.
DC Beaver, right up my alley.
Right. All right, well, it looks like things are winding down. It's midnight. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. Excuse me, I'm doing station ID. WRCT Pittsburgh, midnight, 88.3 FM.
Final statements?
Any last bits of wisdom to share with us, Sebastian?
I don't know. It's bathhouses can be fun if you just have the right mental attitude. To go, have a good time, don't take anything personally.
I think that's...
And
the biggest
safe.
Lesson I got, don't take anything personally.
No,
be safe, know your limits.
Know your limits, know your risk tolerance.
Well, I think all of our listeners actually have done a great public service now. I mean, you said your first experience. I mean, had maybe you heard the show before your first mm-hmm. experience, it would have been much more pleasurable mm-hmm. and less offensive.
And they were all raptured listeners since they couldn't find time or energy to call. So I'm sure they got it.
Maybe they all went out and ran out and frequented their cities.
If we've helped just one young gay bathhouse goer tonight, then we've done our job.
One person, one soul at a time.
Excellent.
So this is Loveline. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh, I see animals. Let's take a look on the moon. Come on, come on, come on.
The proceeding was a production of WRCT Public Affairs. Listen every day at 5 p.m. for fine WRCT Public Affairs programming, only on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. If you have comments or questions regarding this or any WRCT Public Affairs program, send them to WRCT Public Affairs, 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Margaret Morrison Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15213. Or send email to gh1w@andrew.cmu.edu.
You've been listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.